Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. You know, I was thinking this week, why is the blood of Jesus precious? And I thought about that a lot, really a lot. I kept thinking about it, and maybe there's not one answer to it, but you know, there's things in this life that's precious to us. And that means they're dear to us. Isn't that right? And you know, the blood of Jesus is precious to a sinner because it's the only thing can redeem him. And the blood of Christ was shed for sinners, praise God. For no one but sinners was the blood of Christ shed. And nothing can cleanse us from sin, only the blood of Jesus, so it's precious. And the bigger the sinner, the bigger the rejoicing. The Bible says that who rejoiced much, but him that was forgiven for much, rejoiced much, praise God. We want to continue this morning, and we saw this morning, we finished on the blood of sprinkling. And tonight I want to start with the sixth phrase here is the impossibility of the blood speaking. And I might have mentioned it a bit this morning as well, but I want to continue tonight with the blood. The blood can't speak if there's no blood. But there is blood, and that blood can speak. Let us read from Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 12. You could also read Hebrews 12, 24. Hebrews 12, 24, but Genesis 4, verse 3 to 12. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. He told a lie. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. God was able to identify where Abel was because of the voice of the blood. I tell you, that's remarkable. The voice of the blood cried to God. And now thou art cursed above all the earth, and have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Let's bow our heads again this evening, praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We thank you that the blood of Abel could speak. And Lord, you heard it, and you answered to it. And then we know in Hebrews it said, how much more speaketh better things the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that the blood has a voice tonight. And we would pray that the voice of your blood will speak this evening. Speak into men and women's hearts. Deliver them. Speak over people with sickness and heal them. Restore the backslidden. Save the lost. And give strength to your own people. I pray against every spirit of infirmity in this house. I come against every unclean devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, and I plead the power and the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God over myself and everyone in this room, and all that's near and dear to us, I plead the merits of that blood. Save everyone, representative even with those in this very room, and those that will hear this message, save them and deliver them. May they know the power of God coming on them and setting them free in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The priestly shed blood of Abel cried to God from the ground. And it was heard by God, and God answered. Blood speaks. Does blood speak? Can it speak? That's the question. Well, we know the token spoke. Because we saw this morning where God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood spoke for God's people. It spoke for them that when God saw it, he passed over. The death angel couldn't touch them because of the blood. Hebrews 12:24, the blood of Christ Jesus speaks better things. Blood speaks. How can chemistry speak? It's the life that's in it that speaks. And you see, the life for the blood is the Holy Spirit. Because when the blood cell broke on the cross 2,000 years ago, the very life of God was released from that blood cell. And that life was the Spirit of God. And that's the life that comes in every believer. And Paul said in Romans, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. So there's life through that blood. Now you could go to Leviticus and you could see that life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Leviticus 17 tells us that. That the life's in the blood. And you know, when God made Adam in the start, and Adam was a man made, but he wasn't living. But he was made. It says God breathed in him. And he became a living soul. The blood came into him when God breathed in him. And I tell you, the Spirit answers to the blood. Thank God for that tonight. The Spirit answers to the blood. It was a life that wasn't Christ that cries out better things. It speaks, and it speaks loud. It speaks the Holy Spirit. It speaks plain. It tells us that the time is here when we see it. We know we're living in the last days. But the things is happening. And the blood's speaking. And I could say to you this evening that I've spoke through seven church ages. From the very first church age to this last Laodicean age. God had spoken faithfully. The blood has had a voice. It's had a voice. And thank God for the voice of that blood. Abel's blood spoke of judgment. Christ's blood speaks of atonement. The blood of Christ is not stifled blood, but a speaking blood. Let me read you. It's a statement from the great C.H. Spurgeon. See how red your guilt mark a scarlet stain. If you were to wash your soul in the Atlantic Ocean, you might incarnate every wave that washes all its shores. And yet the crimson spots of your transgression would still remain. But plunge into the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and in an instant, you're whiter than the snow. Every speck, spot, and stain of sin is gone, and gone forever. What a statement from the Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon. I tell you, the blood speaks for you and me tonight. Speaks for us. You know, when you're sick, you can claim that blood and it can speak for you. It can speak over you. And God can heal you even when you're sick. Because the Bible says, by his stripes you're wound. 1 Peter 2:24. He his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we've been dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By his stripes, wounds, we were healed. Now you could go on our church webpage, and if you go on there, we have the great testimony of that man that had that tremendous experience, James White. And he had the experience where he saw the crucifixion. And he didn't believe in divine healing. And he never saw a miracle, and he had never prayed for nobody. And he had the experience where he saw a man being tied and whipped and beaten. And he describes it in tremendous detail. And he said he was crying himself in this dream or vision he had. And there was people trying to help him, and they threw them away. And the man fell on the ground into the sand, and the blood and sand in his back bleeding. And he said that man turned and looked at him. And it was Jesus. And he said to James White, "Is this not enough for your healing?" And after that, James White began to pray for people, and he saw tremendous miracles because he knew that Jesus had paid for it. Not only has the blood of Jesus Christ paid for your salvation and to cleanse your sins, but you have a right to divine healing. Because of the stripes of Christ on his back, you can be healed. Thank God he's a savior and a healer tonight. The seventh thing tonight, the impossibility of washing in blood. If there is no blood, how can you wash in blood that's not there? My, when you take the blood out, it doesn't leave you much to preach about. Revelation 7:14, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now I'm deliberately reading that text to show you that there's people saved after the rapture. And to prove a point here with this scripture. Because you see, when some smart aleck tells me there's no blood today, how do these people come out of great tribulation? And how do they wash in the blood of the Lamb if there is no blood to wash in? But my Bible says they wash in the blood of the Lamb. And my Bible says they come out of great tribulation. We know the bride doesn't go through it, she goes up. But there's people that's going to go through it, and there's people going to be left. And there's people going to get saved. And they're going to wash in the same blood of the Lamb that you and me wash in. And it's going to make them white. White. Not wonderful, isn't it? If the blood of Christ ran into the ground and perished, how could sinners wash in blood unavailable and inaccessible? How could they do it if it ran into the ground and perished? Christ's blood is supernatural blood. Therefore, washing in it is a supernatural act. Hallelujah. It's a supernatural act that takes place by faith. I told you the story this morning about the evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, where he explained about washing with a soap. You can have as much soap as you want, but if you don't use it, it won't work. And Christ's blood has to be applied. And if you apply the blood on your situation, and if you apply the blood on the, I'm going to tell you, those of us that are saved, we need to apply it on our children in prayer. I'm going to tell you that secret now. When you're praying, you need to plead the blood on your children. It's the blood that gives protection from the enemy. You need to plead that blood. This is the tool God's given us. That's why the devil hates it, preaching it. He hates it with all his guts. And I hate him all mine. Like the boy said, from the crown of my head down to my big toe, back up again, I hate him. You say you shouldn't talk like that. Well, you want to talk to Al Nicholson. He said when they're taking the devil and throwing him into the bottomless pit, he'll be there and he'll put his boot in him when he's going in. That's what he said. He says, "I'll drive my boot into them when the Lord's throwing him in." That's what he thought of the devil. Don't have any sympathy for the devil, for he's none for you. He wants to kill you, he wants to rob you, and he wants to steal from you, and he wants to destroy you. But Jesus says, "I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly." Ephesians 2, verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." This is what brings you into God's presence, the blood. Isn't that wonderful? 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." I tell you, when you come into this light, the blood works. It works. Revelation 1:5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." His own blood. Now wonderful. The Lord washed us from sin in his own blood. Christ's blood is not congealed blood. It's cleansing blood. Cleansing blood. Number 8, the impossibility of conquering the devil by blood, if there is no blood. See, people, they take scriptures and they say, we don't have this, then they use another scripture, but they're not allowed to use it, because if they say there's no blood, they can't use it. How can you use someone if you've done away with it? We want to use all the Bible. We want to use every weapon available. We need it. You can only conquer the devil by blood. Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Through the blood of the Lamb, we overcome the old devil. Thank God for the blood. The triumph of the saints over the old serpent, the devil, Satan, is by the blood of the Lamb. God's appointed weapon against Satan is Christ's blood. That's God's weapon, and he's given it to us as his church. We saw it overcome the death angel in the Old Testament. And if it can overcome the death angel, that's the same old devil. It can overcome him now in the New Testament by the blood of the Lamb. My, if you're ever having a hard day and thoughts are coming to you, it shouldn't come to you, just kneel down wherever you are. Take a moment. Plead the merits of the blood. Say, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over my mind, over my whole body and soul and spirit, and over my whole thinking. I yield all to Christ. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over me. Cover me in your blood. Wash me in your blood. Thank God for the blood. Exodus 12 and 13 says this, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Of what value is lost blood? Lost blood's of no value, but thank God it's not lost blood. Of what merit is blood that's perished? Of what virtue is blood that's decayed? Where is the victory of the blood which has disappeared? How the devil delights in the doctrine which belittles the blood? It is Satan-inspired preachers. Now that's a terrible thing to say, but it's the truth. Because they're not inspired by the Holy Spirit. They can't be. Because the Spirit answers to the blood. The Spirit doesn't deny the blood. The Spirit answers to the blood. And when people say there is no blood, something's wrong. This is the devil's ploy to rob God's people of the invincible weapon, which has destroyed his power in the past and will destroy it still today, the blood of Jesus. Each day I appropriate and plead the value, the virtue, the victory, and the living blood of the Lamb of God. Each day I plead the blood. I never leave the house in the morning. As soon as you get into whatever vehicle I'm going in, I always pray. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're late, take an extra minute. Did you hear that? Never have the idea I'm 10 or 15 minutes late and miss the prayer. Be late, but don't miss the prayer. It's more important. And you'll find you're not that late. My dad used to tell us all the time, there's no rush. There's no rush. Take your time. And I'm going to tell you, with things of God, I've learned you have to take your time. God's in no rush. God will do things in his own time, and God's not limited to time. Look, when Lazarus dead, all of us would have thought he's too late, wouldn't we? Should have been here long ago. 4 days dead, and Jesus come on the scene and raised him. He's never late. But the devil wants to tell you you haven't got time. It's the same with coming to church. He'll tell people, you haven't got time to come to church. There's so many people today haven't got time to come to church, but they've time to watch Carnation Street or some other rubbish. That's not worth watching. I never watch it, and I know nothing about it. There's it and that other garbage, EastEnders. And there are two programs inspired by Satan. Most of the television is inspired by it. And the news, it's what lies they can tell on the news. You don't hear the truth on the news. You hear a load of lies on it. They don't tell you the truth. Most of it's lies. There's people gets killed here and you never hear about it in the news. You never hear it mentioned. But you'll hear what they want you to hear. You'll hear what they want you to hear. That's like the devil. Well, I've news for him. He's defeated. My Bible shows me he's eternally defeated because of the blood of Jesus. Now, if there's no blood, the impossibility of the incorruptibility of the blood, if there is no blood. But the blood of Jesus Christ is supernatural, and because it's supernatural, it is incorruptible. Man, you could go into the book of Psalms and you could read, "Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received from perdition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, without blemish and without spot." The reason it says without blemish and the reason it says without spot, because his blood is incorruptible blood. Do you know why it's incorruptible? Jesus had no sin. And you see, because Jesus had no sin, death had no claim on him. It had no claim. Death's a claim on everybody. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. It's appointed unto man once to die. Romans tells us this. But it never was appointed unto Jesus to die because he had no sin. But he willingly took our place. Amen. He took our place. And he willingly went to the cross and he willingly shed his life's blood for me and you. He died that we could live. And thank God, God raised him again from the dead on the third day. And his precious blood's available tonight to wash your sins all away. Exodus 2, 27 to 31, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," he's quoting from the Psalms. Boy, Peter's under the inspiration here, isn't he? "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of thy joy and countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, saying this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption." You have to get that last flesh. "Neither did his flesh see corruption."
Amen. All right.
Oh, I can tell you this man's preserved. The devil's no claim on him. Even though all your sins, think of this evening, all your sins from you are born till you go to the grave or the rapture, all my sins, the whole world's sins, Jesus bared them all at Calvary.
Amen.
And he appeased the holy God. Do you know what that word appeased means? God was satisfied with what Christ done. God wasn't satisfied with anything less. We could not satisfy God with our programs. But Christ satisfied him with his blood.
Yeah.
Because without the shedding of blood is no remission. Just like Abel satisfied God with a bloody lamb. And Cain was rejected. Even though he were heard this morning, he worked hard on it. But God didn't accept it. He only accepted blood. That was God's divine plan and God's divine way. God has a big plan. The blood of Christ could not corrupt because it was God's blood. Let me read you this. "Now the scarlet in Scripture was wool of a ram's back that was dyed red, represented the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, was to be mixed into this because this would be the waters of separation to cleanse the unclean worshipper, that he might be presented in the presence of God." What are we basing? Trying to find the real true way to the genuine fellowship of God. We've tried to do it all kinds of things. and educate ourselves, organize ourselves, but there's only one divine plan. That's the blood. Only one divine plan. We've tried it with education. We've tried it with everything. But there's only one divine plan. We see it back with Cain. The simplest way was God's way. It's the same with preaching. People don't want the simple preaching. They want some big swelling words that nobody knows what they're talking about. But the Bible says the common people heard Jesus gladly. For he spoke the common people's language. Amen. Outside the blood, there's no fellowship. There's not even cleansing of sin until we get the blood. Notice then, this world dyed red represented Abel's ram that he offered on the block of the stone in the garden, outside the Garden of Eden, for his sins. When he took its little head and held it back and hacked with the piece with his knife for a stone on the rock. You know, they probably wouldn't have had knives then, maybe a stone and a bit of a stick, and he cut his throat. Now the modernists would tell us that's wicked and evil. And you can't do that. But that's God's way. That's not the modernist way. All the things they want to brainwash us with. Oh, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do this. And you're not allowed to eat meat. You're not allowed to eat this. The Bible says you eat whatever you want as long as you pray over it. Amen. But I tell you, this was God's way. This lamb dying, bleeding, crying, symbolized the Son of God some 400 years later, hanging on the cross, bleeding his locks, bleeding and dying, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was Jesus on the cross, crying out to God. And here I'm going to tell you a weak thing tonight. What did God do with Jesus? He turned his back on him. Is that the Bible? Well, I can tell you it is. God turned his back on him. Because our sins was on him.
That's right. Amen.
And when God turned his back on him, everything blacked out. There was a blackout. Total darkness. And then when you go back into Genesis, you see there's darkness in the beginning and the Spirit of God moves and there's light. Then you come up into Exodus and you see that in the days of Moses, there was gross darkness. And here's what it says. Darkness that could be felt. It was not dark. But when the blood of the Lamb was put on the doorpost, light came through. And there was darkness on the cross for 3 hours. And God turned his back on his own Son. Because in those 3 hours, he took your place. He took my place and all the sins of the world. And then when the 3 hours was up, he cried those wonderful words. It is finished. What a Savior. And I tell you, when he cried those words, something happened. Because the Bible says there was an earthquake. And the rocks rent and the earth shook. Creation shook. When Christ died. What a Savior. And his body was hanging on the cross. And he gave up the ghost and he went down into the underworld. And Reinhard Bunke said he plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Hallelujah. And he emptied Abraham's bosom. I'm going to tell you, Job was up there in Abraham's bosom in that realm where it was, and Jesus came in the door and Job said, this is him. This is the one that you said, hear me prophesying, I shall see him in the latter days, in the flesh, I'm going to see him. Here he is. This is a time something's going to happen. And there was a resurrection took place. Jesus rose from the dead and those Old Testament saints rose with him. The Word of God says some saw them in the streets in the cities. Abraham's bosom closed tonight. Because the way is made into heaven itself. The way that couldn't be made before is made because the blood of Jesus is shed. And it takes you back to Hebrews. As the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly. With a better sacrifice, Christ's blood entered heaven. And the way is made into heaven itself. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can enter heaven. We couldn't enter heaven as we are sinners. But when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're called a saint of God. And see, it's not somebody on a picture, you know, with writing over them, saint so-and-so. That's not what the Bible calls saints. The Bible says, Paul says, unto the saints at Ephesus, unto the saints at Philippi. He wrote unto the saints that were living. Living saints. And you're a saint when you're washed in the blood of Christ. Because his life is now your life. Oh, my brother and sister, this evening you come under the imputation of his righteousness, which is Romans chapter 4, where Jesus says, I impute to you my righteousness. Hallelujah. I don't impute ye your sin over. We should have had it imputed to us. But God says, I impute to you my righteousness. God's righteousness imputed to us. So when God looks at me and you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. Not ours, for we have none of our own. But we're working with his. And I'm going to tell you a wee thing tonight. His righteousness, it not only fit you for this life, but it'll fit you for the life to come. Isn't that wonderful? What Christ has done. Praise God for it tonight. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a scarlet that was put into the waters of separation, blood flowing in Christ's veins. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And that word profession is the same as confession, but it's a different confession than they have down the road here. It means the confession of your faith in Christ. It's when you confess Jesus as your Savior. And this fellow that's to my left, I won't mention his name, we're on recording here. But he believes in the faith. Yes. But I disagree with him. There's one faith. Yes. One Lord. One baptism. He can keep his faiths. I'll work with the one faith. One faith. One Lord. One baptism. Our confession is Jesus is my Savior. Is that your confession tonight? Hold on to that profession of faith. He entered heaven with his own blood. And it never saw corruption. Hebrews 9 verse 11 and 12 and verse 23. But Christ becoming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. That's to say not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. But with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He's obtained it. Now, if you obtain something, you know what that means? You're a possessor of it. If you've obtained something, you're the possessor of it. You have it. Now, once you have it, you never need to look for it again. You already have it. And when you've got Jesus Christ, you've got eternal life. You have it. Look no more. There's people, when people stand and they'll get down over them and they'll say, it's now between you and God. I tell you something, the man that says that over people that stand, he's going to answer to God. He's given them people no hope their whole life. And on their dying breath, he's crippled them. But I thank God if you're saved on your dying breath, you can say, praise God. Promoted. Promoted to God. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. Eternal life. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifice than these. What is the better sacrifice? Christ. Christ's better. As the high priest passed through the tabernacle to present the holiest of all the blood of the atonement and sprinkling it on the mercy seat, So our great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, passed through the heavens to the holy place of God and there presented himself and sprinkled the mercy seat of Jehovah's eternal throne. And with his own incorruptible blood, we have access, because of the incorruptibleness of the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, we have access the whole way to heaven. The mercy seat in heaven's been sprinkled with blood. And we have access. Access. Because of the blood of the Lamb of God. Hebrews 10 verse 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. No man can overcome in the flesh, but Jesus did. He overcome in the flesh. He never sinned in his flesh. I'm going to tell you that one more time. Jesus never sinned in his own flesh. Every other man did, but Christ didn't. So now a fellow over in America, and her brother Yule had taped some one time, and he hit on there that Jesus had to be born again. You see, when I heard that statement, I knew he was a false prophet. And I wouldn't listen to him ever after that again. He might have his big jet planes and all this and that and big churches and big spires, but he's dead as far as I'm concerned. Jesus Christ never needed to be born again, because he knew no sin and he had no sin. Death had no claim on him, but he went into hell and challenged all that was there and conquered death, and he conquered hell, and he conquered the grave, and he rose on the third day triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. And in Revelations he says this: I am he that was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death, of hell, and of the grave. And him that believeth in me shall never die. That's God's word. That's the message to the true church. New and living way, newly slain. The blood is fresh. It's fresh. When you think of the blood of Jesus, it's fresh. It's ever living. It's ever flowing. Ever full, incorruptible, uncongealed blood of Jesus Christ. Full of power and vitality. And I tell you, it's absolutely potent. Potent. The devil hates it. But the saints of God rejoice in it. This is my last thing tonight, number 10. The impossibilities of the realities of heaven. You can't reach heaven without the blood. But thank God, it is possible to have the realities of heaven because of the blood. Hebrews 12, 22, 24. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Never worry about your name but a wee book, some wee lodge somewhere. As long as your name's written in heaven, that's all you need to worry about. But don't believe in names in some book. This is the book. And you know, when the mark of the beast comes, what's he say? Pull out the book. He'll overcome all those whose names are not in the book. Is that the Bible? That's the Bible I'm reading. Your name's in the Lamb's book of life you're in. Thank God, are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh, glory. Did you see that bit? Made perfect. How, brother? Through the blood. Made perfect. You say, I could never be. I hear people saying, I could never be perfect. That's a contradiction to the Bible. The Bible says you can be made perfect. I could never overcome sin. Paul said, sin will have no more dominion over you. He says in another place, death will have no more dominion over you. You need to watch. The devil would get you to contradict the Bible. But you need to say the Bible. Speak the Bible. You're God's chosen. The Lord loves you. God's good plans for you. And the Jesus of mediator of the new covenant, the blood of sprinkling, and speaketh better things than that of evils. He has revealed to us in this passage in the sevenfold realities of heaven. Here with us evening. The ands indicate for us the divisions of this text we've read. Therefore, appointed to each one of the seven. Note also the twofold description given of each particular in these scriptures here in Hebrews 12. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And, do you see that? Then say this again. And unto an innumerable company of angels and the general assembly. Here's another one. Unto the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Here's another one. Unto God, the judge of all. Here's another one. Unto spirits of just men made perfect. Here's another one. Unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Here's number seven. Unto the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Many don't believe the blood to be in heaven. They deny the word of God for scholarship. You know that's what's happening today. There was a movement started out under the power of God, under a revival atmosphere, under a tremendous move of God. But man has done what he's done in every other movement. He's denominated and organized it. Now what's crept in? We don't need the blood. We've moved on. We don't need Pentecost. We've moved on. And before you know, they've moved on and all the Pentecost's done away with, the blood's done away with. Well, Wilma, what you're preaching? Doesn't leave you a lot. I believe in a prophet. I do too. But the only prophet that I'll pray until or serve is the high prophet. The greatest prophet and priest of all, Jesus Christ is his name. And to him will I bow, and only to him I'll bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow to the golden image, and the golden image was set up of the prophet Daniel. And they wouldn't worship Daniel even though he was a man of God. And Daniel himself wouldn't tell them to do it either. But the old king set up the image of Daniel. And he said at the time of the music playing, you'll have to fall down and worship this golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, we won't do it. We might burn, but we'll not bow. And because they never bowed, they never burned. But if they had a bowed, they surely would have burned. Glory to God. It is Christ we're going to worship. And if it separates us from some, so be it. We still must worship the Lord. And the blood is as real as heaven is real. As the Lord in heaven is real. As the angels in heaven is real. As the saints in heaven is real. Thank God for the word of God. That's our authority. Those that believe in a bloodless message lead people down a long, wide road of an impossibility. A cul-de-sac of Bible impossibilities. You ever in one of them? God can't do this. God can't do that. My man. Do you ever hear that? Our man. Well, I'm not interested in our man. I'm only interested in the Lord. Our man doesn't believe that. Our man wouldn't go for that. Well, you have a man here tonight. He's called Jesus. And he's the Word made flesh. Glory to God. 1 John 5, verse 6 and 8, and I'm almost finished. You're listening well. This is he that came by water and blood. Did you get that? Write that down. Glory to God. This is he that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is a spirit that beareth witness, because a spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one, not three, not a trinity, but one. One.
Amen.
One God. Three offices of the one God, but one God nevertheless. And there are three that bear witness on earth. Notice it says bear witness on earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood, and they all agree in one. So somebody come, hear me this evening, and let me get you this before we finish. If somebody comes and says, I have a revelation from God, and it tells me I no longer need to preach the blood, and he tells you that's the Spirit of God revealed unto him, well then you know there's something wrong. Because the Spirit bears witness to the blood. How could the Holy Spirit give you a revelation not to preach the blood? That's not the Holy Spirit of the Bible. That's another spirit. And there's only two spirits at work. The Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit, which is the god of this evil age, the devil. And you know the spirit of God is the spirit of obedience. And that other spirit's the spirit of disobedience. That's the spirit of disobedience. And he wants you to disobey. How could the blood be a witness if it were lost and silent? Thank God the blood speaks better things. I'm going to finish with this statement from C.H. Spurgeon. I hope that there's never a Sunday but what I teach this doctrine. Until this tongue is silent in the grave, I shall know no other gospel than just this. Trust Christ and you shall live. The bloody sacrifice of Calvary is the only hope for sinners. Surely we can say amen to that tonight. That's absolutely the truth. Are you glad for the blood of Jesus tonight? You know, there's many things I can say about it. Years ago, I began to study more on the blood of Jesus, and the Lord gave me so many messages. And even when I still look at it after all these years, it just keeps coming. Thank God for the blood. I want to tell you this evening, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, the blood of Jesus lays there for you. It lays there for you. Many times we make mistakes. Many times we fall short. We might go through a time where we feel bad, we feel guilty, we feel insufficient, and we are. But thank God for his sufficiency. And our sufficiency is in Christ. It's in Christ. I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. It's in Christ. Let's stand our feet this evening. Praise God. Let's close our eyes tonight. And if anyone wants prayer, just lift your hand up to the Lord. Now remember you in prayer as we close the service this evening. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Thank God this evening. If anyone gets this message, the Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for your precious blood. Lord, I know your presence is in this room. I know the Holy Spirit's near. I know we're kept about with a great and company of angels, witnesses round about us. Father, I pray for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Ask you'll touch the hearts and lives of men and women tonight. For those especially that's raised their hand in this house. Lord, will you bless them? Will you touch them? Will you meet their every need? Lord, I pray for myself and everyone in this very room and listening in. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And we shall be whiter than the driven snow. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, touch those with your healing power tonight. By your wounds, your stripes, we're healed. We claim strength to the bone, health to the navel. In the name of Jesus Christ. For any with a cold or a flu this evening, Lord, may you touch them. May you heal them. May that virus, whatever it is, go from them. And may they know your healing touch upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for the days, the weeks, the months that lay ahead, we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths. Bless each one. Prosper each one. Pray for the widows in this service. Bless every one of them. Strengthen them. Meet their needs, Lord Jesus. Be with them in a special way. May they know a special presence at all times of the Holy Spirit. May the angel of the Lord be near them. Help them and strengthen them. In Jesus' precious name. Father, as myself and Brother John prepare to go, Lord, we know we need your help. We need your guidance. We need you to go before us to prepare the ground. Prepare the hearts. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. And we plead your blood in every case. And we ask for your divine instruction. for your divine leadership and your blessing, and that souls will be saved and backslidden restored, that you'll get all the praise and all the glory. Pray for Brother George and Brother Yule as they go on the streets. May the Lord's protection be over them. May the blood of Jesus be upon them. Oh God, keep them and use them. And Lord, for others that go to all their meetings to preach your gospel, strengthen them, bless them. Put fire in the belly and strengthen the bones. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As her brother Gary comes and her sister Alvin, I want to thank her sister and Gary for leading the songs and the music and everything with. We really appreciate it. Praise God. And Brother Gary's going to be preaching for us next Sunday morning. Pray for brother and pray for all the service. And we'll be here again Wednesday night at 7:30, the Lord willing. Just pray the Lord will help us. And the Lord bless each one.
Amen. Praise God. I'm trying to sing that hymn, O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. I'm not sure if that's how it starts off. Marty, if you can find that for us, I think it is in the Redemption hymn book. Search me, O God. That's the one, yes. Search me, O God. That's it. In the redemption. We're all right. I was thinking another song, we don't know it here, but there's a wee song. Tommy was talking about Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. They wouldn't bend, they held on to the word of God, so we are told. They wouldn't bow, their knees to the idols made of gold. They wouldn't burn, they were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow. I wouldn't burn. Praise God. We're going to try this all. What key is this? F. I'm going to try and sing this hymn. Praise God. I'm not sure if I know what we're doing.
Search me, O God. Take all my will, my passion set.